WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Friday, October 2nd. Just ahead, getting a flu shot this fall is a way not only to protect yourself against influenza, but also to help in the fight against COVID-19. We'll learn more from Christine Herman. But first, these headlines. Pressure on Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan is ramping up as one of his fellow Democrats announced a challenge to his speakership yesterday. Hannah Meisel reports.
Stephanie Kifwit, who represents Aurora, was one of the first Democrats to call for Madigan's resignation this summer. That came after a bombshell federal filing identified the speaker as Public Official A in an investigation into Commonwealth Edison's political influence. The feds say ComEd curried favor with Madigan via jobs and contracts for his allies, including ones where people performed, quote, little to no work. Kifwit says that's disqualifying.
He has compromised the integrity of office of Speaker of the House, and he has undermined the public trust. And to me, that's just not acceptable.
Meanwhile, House Republicans on a special investigative panel accused Democrats of protecting Madigan from subpoenas they want to issue, including to the Speaker. The GOP members left the door open for voting for a Democrat for Speaker come January. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Meanwhile, Illinois Republicans are continuing to beat the drum about issuing a subpoena to Madigan in order to force him to testify about his political influence over Commonwealth Edison. Democrats on a six-member committee examining the relationship between Madigan and ComEd blocked GOP House members from issuing subpoenas to Madigan and others this week. Yesterday, Representative Grant Worley of Naperville dared his Democratic colleagues to push for Madigan to testify.
There may be others that step forward, so I think it is premature to rally behind one candidate at this point in time, but I certainly applaud her courage, her desire to see Illinois improved.
Governor J.B. Pritzker this week also said Madigan should testify, but stopped short of recommending he be subpoenaed. Farmers across the country received federal aid as China put tariffs on crops like cotton and soybeans. As Harvest Public Media's Seth Bodine reports, farmers in the South got the most money on average, largely because of the crops they grow.
According to analysis by the Government Accountability Office, farmers in Georgia received an average payment of more than $42,000 from the Market Facilitation Program. Bart Fisher is the co-director of the Agricultural and Food Policy Center at Texas A&M. He says while farmers in southern states received the most money in 2019, they also faced the biggest losses.
So in most of those cases where you see large payment rates, it's because either soybeans or cotton dwarfed the other crops. And those were the ones that were facing the retaliation direct from China.
The USDA paid out about $500 million more in 2019 compared to 2018. Texas, Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota received almost half of those payments. Seth Bodine, Harvest Public Media.
Champaign County reported its second COVID-19 death in as many days yesterday, for a total of 22 deaths from the coronavirus. The Champaign-Urbana Public Health District reported 56 new COVID-19 cases yesterday. Meanwhile, on the University of Illinois Urbana campus, officials reported 32 new COVID-19 cases yesterday. The positivity rate for tests conducted on Wednesday dropped slightly to 0.31%. The seven-day positivity rate was unchanged at 0.36%. Among reports yesterday from other Region 6 counties, Macon County reported 34 new cases and one additional death, Vermilion County reported 31 new cases, and Coles County reported 22 new cases. Still to come, we'll hear from an official at Carle Foundation Hospital about the importance of getting your flu shot this fall, especially during the COVID-19 pandemic. That's next on 217 Today.
The rematch is set for the 13th Congressional District. Republican incumbent Rodney Davis debates Democratic challenger Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan, October 5th at 7 p.m., brought to you by WCIA, WILL, and the League of Women Voters. Watch it live on WILL-TV or X49, or listen to AM 580 or FM 90.9. Davis and Londrigan debating live, October 5th at 7 p.m.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Getting the flu vaccine is a simple way to protect yourself and those at greatest risk from influenza. And as the COVID-19 pandemic carries on, public health officials say it's more important than ever this year. Christine Herman spoke with Linda Fred, the director of pharmacy at Carle Hospital in Urbana, to learn more.
Getting a flu vaccination is important every year, especially if you fall into a high risk category. But even if you don't fall into a high risk category directly, almost every one of us interacts with people who do have high risk for infections or for bad outcomes from those infections. So it's just really important to protect yourself and the people around you to get a flu vaccination every year. This year, it's even more critical because we are in the middle of a pandemic and we already have some concerns about hospital capacity in various parts of the country, and the exacerbation of the situation by having the pandemic and then seasonal flu at the same time might push hospital capacities in some places kind of over the edge. I think it's just really especially important this year just to maintain everybody's health and to make sure that the hospital capacities are maintained in good stead and that, you know, patients have access to healthcare when they need it.
And I'd like to learn a little bit more about this nationwide shortage of the high-dose vaccine, which I understand is recommended for seniors age 65 and older. Can you talk a little bit about what the high dose is and what your message is for seniors who may not be able to get it this year?
Yeah, so just a little context around that. So the high-dose vaccination has been available for a few years now. It is recommended for patients who are age 65 or older, but the CDC does not have strong guidance on a real preference for one vaccine over another vaccine. What the CDC says is it's important to get a flu vaccination. If you don't have access to a high dose vaccination this year, you should get a regular dose vaccination instead. And the risk of not getting a vaccination is higher than the risk of getting the normal dose as opposed to the high dose.
And is the idea that with a higher dose of the vaccine, a person is offered greater protection, and this is particularly important for those who are most vulnerable?
A stronger immune response and thought to be a little more sustainable, because that's one of the reasons that people are often advised not to get a flu shot too early in the season, because you want to make sure that your antibody response lasts throughout the entire flu season. So if you get your shot in, you know, June, then it might run out in December or January, and there's still quite a bit of flu season left after that. So it has to do with both the immune response of the body and sustaining it through the whole duration of the flu season.
And speaking of timing, when is the right time to get your flu shot?
In general terms, the CDC every year recommends to start flu vaccinations October 1st. That's when the hospital mandate starts. So we're obligated to offer flu vaccinations for our Medicare patients, and that's the date that's applied every year. And that's based on the CDC recommendation. But there have been years where they recommend an earlier injection because of what they've seen in trends with transmission of the disease and prevalence of the disease. So in some years, they do recommend some differences in that. But usually starting in the, you know, mid to late September, you're easily within the time frame. And I encourage people every year to get a flu shot. And I get my flu shot every year. And again, it comes back to what I said right at the top of the conversation, that it's important not just for your health, but for the health of those around you. So I think it's just a good practice, a good humane practice for the well-being of the community, honestly.
That's Carle Pharmacy Director Linda Fred speaking with Christine Herman. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Seth Bodine, and Christine Herman. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.